All right, Bill Barty, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors, and we are always giving up all our top secret best spots to go, aren't we?
That's right. The hot spots, if you will, of our Carolina Outdoors. That's one of the benefits of listening to the Carolina Outdoors, I guess, Don, do you think?
I think so, because between Google Earth and a couple of guys on the radio, there aren't many secrets left, are there?
I am just even glad that you would say a couple of guys on the radio. But not only are we on the radio, but we are also distributed via podcast in many, many, many social media outlets as well. And that's going to be kind of our topic. Because, Don, have you ever been on a fishing trip when the guide or your buddy or your captain who was maybe hosting you said, "Hey, can you spin around and take your picture the other way, facing outwards?"
Put that GPS away.
Yeah. Well, that was because I've had that happen several times where they did not want geographic descriptives in the picture, whether it be a city skyline, maybe a certain rock on a river, maybe a lighthouse or a beach or a significant tree. They did not want that in the picture because they did not want to share their certain hotspots. So that's kind of happening these days in a macro kind of way geographically in places like the Appalachian Trail, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And our next guest, Alan Kanzinger, has written prolifically about these things. And she's going to join us right now on the Carolina Outdoors. We're going to find out if they're going to put guardrails at the famous McAfee Knob on the Appalachian Trail. Ellen, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Thanks for having me.
Listen, let's just jump in. You have an article that was written out there called "Is Social Media Spoiling the Best Outdoor Secrets?" And in that, you use several different places that many of our listeners would know, many of them may not know, but can you share some of the spots, maybe like McAfee's Knob, that are being, I guess, pounded out there in social media instances?
Sure. So I think you mentioned sort of the biggest one here on the East Coast, McAfee's Knob on the Appalachian Trail. It's sort of in the Roanoke area of the trail. And anyone, I think, who is really familiar with the trail has probably heard of this. It's considered the most photographed overlooked on the AT, and so it's really popular spot. There's this great sort of overlook where you can see the valley below, and people like to take photos on the ledge, and so it's gotten a lot of love on Instagram and is a very popular spot. And so there's a lot of talk within the Appalachian Trail Conservancy and various different trail maintenance partners about sort of how to help people understand the impact they might be having on the trail when they go to these spots, and maybe there are these big crowds that could be overusing it.
Well, and you use an example in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where they've actually had an ad campaign. I guess you would call it a public service campaign educationally to get people to refrain from doing something called geotagging exact mm-hmm. locations. Talk to us
yes.
about what that is.
So they've created this generic geotag, and instead of, basically the idea is, instead of tagging, say, the exact spot you're visiting, you use this tag that says, "Tag responsibly, keep Jackson Hole wild." And the idea is that this would maybe stop people from overcrowding places, and whether or not that is actually what will happen, I think, is still up for debate. But they've created this whole ad campaign about it that is really trying to push people to responsibly visit the outdoors.
So I'm a little confused. Come here, but don't come here?
Exactly. I think that's sort of the idea that a lot of people are having, is that it's created by the Jackson Hole Tourism Board. And so there's still this idea that they are trying to bring people to the area, but don't want them to tag the specific spots, which I think is sort of the one of the central pieces of this geotagging debate that we're having when it relates to the outdoors, is that we still want people to get outside. And so this idea that you're somehow trying to push people away in that sense could maybe have an effect on who is visiting.
Right. So don't go to the good spots, go to the bad spots.
Exactly.
I am totally lost in this world of social media.
Well, listen, I am not. I know everything about it. But on behalf of our listeners out there, Ellen Kanzinger, will you tell us what a geotag really is and how people who may receive or see a geotag, whether it be on Instagram or whether it be on Twitter or any of those things, hey, where the Carolina Outdoors is actually podcast available. You can go there, and Jesse Browns distributes them everywhere. But what exactly is a geotag, and how do people who maybe receive it or see them via those outlets follow up to go find what's tagged?
So a geotag is essentially just like a location tag. It's when you post a photo, say, on Instagram, and, you know, maybe you're at, you know, this great state park, and you want to tag your exact location so people can, you know where you were at and can maybe follow up that with that place. And so what the geotag does is when you click on the geotag, whether it be in sort of the post itself or the location, it'll take you to a map that will show you where this place is, and you can find directions by Googling that name. And so it sort of, I actually think it can be a good thing in that it shows people, it gives them an easier way to find these places, and they can use that information to then do more research on their own.
Sort of like a free map in a state park, go this way to the waterfall, right?
Yeah, kind of, yes. And you can do, geotags can be very specific, so you can tag sort of very specific locations almost down to the exact coordinates, and then they can be very general, like you could have a North Carolina geotag, and so there are varying degrees of specificity that can really point people in as direct of a position as you want.
I did not realize this, and we're going to talk a little bit about McAfee Knob. You mentioned that it's in the Roanoke area, and the Roanoke Appalachian Trail Club is responsible for maintaining the McAfee Knob area along with 120 other miles of the Appalachian Trail in that area. But mm-hmm. in that regional office of Appalachian Trail Conservancy, your article quotes the amount of trash and illegal mm-hmm. firings that were dismantled by the McAfee Knob Task Force. Tell us how many gallons of trash and how many firings were removed from that area and dismantled.
So the McAfee Knob Task Force was created in 2015 as sort of a response to this location on the Appalachian Trail being declared a hotspot by the Leave No Trace Center, and basically it was a way to sort of give special attention to this place that was receiving a lot of attention. And so the directors of this task force estimate that they have removed more than 1,600 gallons of trash and dismantled over 187 illegal fire rings since the group was formed in 2015. And those are just estimates. Obviously, there are a lot of people who are helping out here, and so they don't have an exact number. But that just goes to show you how much work they've been putting into this one sort of four-mile section of the Appalachian Trail.
So all we really need is a social media campaign to not only bring out your trash, but bring out somebody else's?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the part that you can do when you're out there, is if we want to preserve these places, everybody needs to do their part.
Hey, what you guys are talking about, what we're all talking about, has a little bit of a Leave No Trace to it. And the Leave No Trace Center has recently posted social media guidelines. And Ellen Kanzinger, our guest here on the Carolina Outdoors, what were those media guidelines for being outdoors?
So I think the important thing to mention about the guidelines is that they're not rules. So the Leave No Trace Center is very specific in that they are guidelines for how you interact with a space. But they're not, you know, any specific, you know, things that you have to do. It's just ways that you can try and be just be more careful about how you're, you know, interacting with spaces. So one of the things that they recommend is being mindful of what your images are portraying. So whenever you're posting in an outdoor space, make sure that you're practicing the leave no trace principles. You're not, you know, walking off trails just to get the perfect photo. You're being respectful of the place you're in. They encourage you to give back to the places you love, so getting involved with a trail maintenance club and really giving back your time to take care of these places. And then they also recommend that when you're geotagging, that you're tagging thoughtfully, so being sure that you're, you know, being aware of what impact sharing your photo might have. And these sort of guidelines apply both to us as individuals and to corporations and various outdoor media industry type of companies that, you know, could also have a really big influence on how people are interacting with these spaces.
And I don't know if this is official or unofficial, but there are Instagram accounts out there that act somewhat as watchdog groups, if you will, or watchdog account groups on Instagram. You mentioned them, Unethical Outdoors, and You Did Not Sleep There. What are those watchdog type groups or accounts doing to be watchdog groups?
So those are unofficial Instagrams. They're started by people who just have seen some of the sort of irresponsible behavior some people have taken on Instagram when in relation to the outdoors. So for instance, Unethical Outdoors, basically this account goes through various different, you know, social media influencer accounts and, you know, accounts like big outdoor companies and looks at what they're posting and sort of how many people are following them and to see how big of a reach they have. And in cases where the photos are showing illegal or irresponsible, essentially, you know, irresponsible behavior, they're calling them out sort of in a public way, asking them to either take down the photos or to better inform their audience, essentially, so that they can know that this is irresponsible behavior and oftentimes can be detrimental to the places that they're at.
Right. So no photos unless you take a photo of the amount of trash you carried out.
That would be a very good
eight photo. Pieces of trash or no photo.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if it's one of these groups, but a year or so ago, Scott Jurek, the long distance runner, broke the record for the Appalachian Trail through hike. And on celebrating getting toward the end, he had picked up some followers who ended up joining in on the finishing of the hike. Somebody had some champagne. It was a little bit of celebration, but because of postings that happened, you know, it was labeled a group get-together, which was there was a fine involved with that. And then the champagne, there was a fine involved with the alcohol. So there's somebody always looking over your shoulder if you're calling some attention to yourself that way. Ellen Kanzinger's article can be read in Blue Ridge Outdoors magazine. We're also going to post it up with our podcast, The Carolina Outdoors. Ellen Kanzinger, thank you so much for being on with the Outdoor Guys here on the Carolina Outdoors. This is Bill Barty at Jesse Brown's. Forget that groundhog. The fly fishing film tour is the real rite of spring around here. If you like fly fishing, world travel, or amazing outdoor photography, this show's for you. Tickets for the March 21st fly fishing film tour at the Visualite Theater are on sale at Jesse Brown's. Find out more at jessebrowns.com, or better yet, see us in the Sharon Corner Shopping Center at South Park.